Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me call the October the 25th, 2022 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals to order. First, let me say that this is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these matters this morning, please sign in if you haven't already. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. And all these proceedings will be recorded. Since this is a quasi-judicial proceeding, decisions of this board are final. Challenges to these decisions must be filed with the Superior Court of Chatham County. All right, may we stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Right. First matter on the agenda is approval of the September the 27th minutes. Had the board members had an opportunity to review. Oh, by the way, we do have a quorum. I guess I should mention that. Has everyone had an opportunity to review those minutes?
Yes.
Are there any suggested edits or changes by anyone? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to approve, please?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Thank you. I understand there is one matter to be removed from the agenda, a variance request at 5906 Girard Avenue. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. We're requesting that item or recommending that item be withdrawn, actually. That was an item that came before the board previously. It had been continued. The applicant had been working with the county to address code compliance issues. The variance is no longer being considered.
All right. Very good. Can I hear a motion, please, to remove that from the agenda?
Right. Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None. All right. So we're on to the regular agenda. First item is 109 Palm Grove Court, front yard setback variance request. All right. Can we hear from staff, please?
Thank you, sir. This item is a request for a 4-foot reduction of the required 30-foot front yard setback for a single family lot on 109 Palm Grove Court. Palm Grove Court is within the Long Point subdivision. It's within the plan unit development zoning classification and within the environmental overlay. The applicant is proposing to construct a new single family residence on this property, which is currently vacant or undeveloped. Palm Grove Court is a paved public road with a 50-foot right-of-way. The street dead ends, as you can see in this map, at the cul-de-sac adjacent to the subject property. This site specifically is adjacent to a lagoon on the rear, which you can see in this map as well, a man-made lagoon. The parcel boundaries include a portion of the lagoon, so the rear of the property, as you can see, the property lines approximately here include a portion of that lagoon. This is the proposed site layout of the residence that the applicant is proposing. The front setback variance appears to be driven primarily by the scale and design of the house and the desire to address the house in close proximity to the lagoon. The site plan indicates that the buildable area on the lot, as you can see in the inset here, is approximately 5,500 square feet. It appears, however, based on our review of the Declaration of Covenants for the Long Point subdivision, that number may be reduced due to an easement which restricts construction within 30 feet of the lagoon. To our understanding, the applicant has yet to seek approval from the Long Point Architectural Review Board. And typically, that wouldn't be an issue for us to consider. But based on the variance request, I thought it was important to point that out. The declaration does also require a minimum building footprint, which staff finds that the applicant can achieve on the site without encroaching into the setback. And we believe, based on our understanding of the covenants, that a redesign, a significant redesign is likely here. And based on that, we're probably is where our recommendation is coming from. The subject property does meet the minimum lot area and lot width requirements for the zoning district, and we find that the site is buildable under the current regulations. The application of the rules related to the front yard setback do not create a hardship in staff's opinion, and the properties on Palm Grove Court are all subject to these same regulations. Based on these findings, we believe a variance is likely to impair the intent of the ordinance as it relates to these standards. In addition, the proposed variance may contradict other requirements, which the applicant has yet to address through those private declarations. So with those findings, we are recommending denial of the 4-foot front yard setback variance request.
Okay. Did I hear you say that there was a significant redesign?
Well, based on the lot size and dimensions and what the petitioner is proposing in terms of the structure here, we believe that that will have to be reduced to meet the requirements of the covenants.
Okay. Other questions of staff?
I have a couple. Mr. Lotson, do you know whether similar variances have been granted to any of the other properties on that street?
We do not have records of variances granted on this street.
Okay. And do I understand that if the homeowners association or the architectural review board suggests to the homeowner that the house as proposed is too close to the lagoon, that it would have to be moved forward?
I would say that it would either have to be moved forward, it would have to be scaled down potentially, because based on what we're looking at, I think the encroachment is likely too severe in order to solve that strictly by moving the existing house forward.
But without having information from that architectural review board, we don't have the information we need to make this decision.
Well, I think that that's partially true. I think it's also true that the proposed scale of the house, even with the variance that's being requested, would still encroach into the lagoon easement.
Thank you.
And just to add one point, because we're having a discussion about covenants, which we don't typically have on this board, oftentimes some associations will require an action like this be requested prior to their review. Others do it differently. So it was the applicant's understanding that he needed to come here first before being heard by that board. But again, as I've said in the past, this board can make a decision which may or may not be upheld by the board.
Mr. Chairman, just listening to this, Ms. Ross is, I'm sure, more familiar with this subdivision than I am, but I know at the landings there's very little reason for someone to come here and request a variance if the landings architectural review board is not going to allow it, because they're not going to allow it. I don't care what we do. So I don't know what the solution is, but it seems to me the applicant should go back before the Long Point association and see what they're going to do before we know whether or not we need to grant a variance.
Do we know if there's anything in their bylaws which requires them to come here first?
I'm not aware of that. That was that information came as a result of conversations with the applicant.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Can we hear from the applicant, please?
Up here. Yep, come on up.
State your name, please.
Jake Heater.
Mr. Peters, would you raise your right hand, please?
Peter.
H-E-A-T-E-R.
Okay. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Speak up a little bit, please.
So with the architect review board, they did suggest that we have to have finalized plans architecturally before we can go to them to request any of this, which is why we came here first. As far as Palm Grove Court, you know, in the findings, other houses on our road have been able to build. Well, that's because I think I have the smallest lot, and then Brandon, who has 111, that's the next subject. We have the smallest lots on the road. 80% of the homes on our street are at least 3,000 square feet, so we wanted to maintain kind of that integrity of the neighborhood on newer builds for value purposes. So that's kind of why this big house was put on this lot. We've already gone to the DNR and gotten approval to build that close, and it won't impact any environmental issues, I guess, with the lagoon. The main thing is that these are just weirdly shaped lots, and we're trying to get the most out of building a house while keeping that value up of our street in Long Point and also the neighborhood to help increase. So.
Okay. Questions?
Just one quick question. So could you make a rough comparison of the square footage that you intend, that you would like to build to the other homes on the street?
Yes, this is.
Do you rate that?
Yes. There's only two under 3,000. And those were built in the 90s. And then the newer build homes are all 3,300 plus. So this would be 300 less than the five newest homes built on the street.
And this may be way too personal a question, but why do you need that much square footage?
Just, I mean, if I'm going to put money into an investment as my first home, first build, you know, the resale value in such a great neighborhood would obviously be ideal to have.
But you know, you don't have six kids or anything like that. Okay. Thank you.
I am a little curious about the lot lines here. Why are they way out in the lagoon?
Curious too. That's just how they were drawn originally.
Is that customary in a subdivision?
Oh, look at the right side where it has that little wonky jig. Why wasn't that drawn straight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be a little drainage.
But it was built intentionally at the time the subdivision was laid out, I guess.
Yeah, we need more subdivisions to have the lot lines.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Neter.
If you're referring to the
and you are
I'm Jeff Kirkland, the Chatham County Engineering, the Environmental Program Manager. If you're referring to the little jog there on the, what would that be, the east side of the lot, it could, this is a bad copy here, but it could be a drainage easement with a drainage structure in it. And ponds in our jurisdiction are commonly put on private property, so that's not unusual. Sometimes they're owned entirely by homeowners associations, and sometimes they're split up amongst the adjoining residents.
All right.
Anything else I can answer while I'm up here?
Yes. Do you have any perspective from your experience that would allow you to speculate on what the Architectural Review Board might say?
No, I don't really. I've only seen a few variance requested from this neighborhood. You know, my standard language is about redirecting any stormwater flow that could potentially be contaminated away from the lagoon. So, you know, our concerns would be if a pool were installed later on, or, you know, landscaping that requires a lot of fertilizer and pesticide, you know, we would want as much room as possible between those areas and the lagoon. But, that's, you know, that's all standard language for anything that I see that's close to a body of water. This is not coastal marshlands as far as I can tell, so there's no state waters buffer required here.
where does this lagoon drain? Does it drain into a larger body?
I don't know. I'd have to look at a drainage plan.
Okay.
There's no, I was trying to find out if there was the structures on this drawing here, and there, it's not.
All right. I don't think it does. I have one more quick question for Mr. Heater.
Thank you.
Forgive me for not having studied your layout carefully enough to know this answer, but the part of the structure that is the closest to the lagoon, is that a porch? Is that?
Yes, that would be a porch.
Okay.
Which could be removed, but.
A cover, Mr. Is that a covered porch or a deck or?
Just a deck.
Just, so it's a deck. Okay.
Have to have the garage underneath because it's not wide enough to put it, so it'll be elevated a full story.
Right.
So it'll be a deck.
Right. Okay, so that's a second story deck.
Yes, the first floor of this house will have to be technically a second story because I don't have room for a garage, so the garage is underneath.
Okay. Thank you, because I didn't see other elevations that helped me understand that.
Sorry.
Okay, that's right. So what's underneath that back part? Nothing?
I guess nothing.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sort of in a quandary about potentially violating covenants here without some review by the Architectural Review Board. I don't know why they would insist that you come here first. I'm always very, very mindful of covenants in private neighborhoods like this. What do the neighbors say?
If I may ask one question for clarification, because I heard Mr. Heater say something as it related to that, and I'd like to bring him back up
okay.
to clarify. But there was a comment made about what the board required of him prior to coming here, and I thought it related to the architecture of the house, but if you could maybe come and clarify that.
All right, come on up, Mr. Heater.
What the ARB is asking of you prior to coming to them.
Well, the ARB, I have no idea who's on it. We've just submitted to the email, and they just said this is, you'll have to go to the county pretty much first before we're able to review.
So you've had no hearing before any board? They just told you to come
here
first?
They said this is a matter that they can't decide on. So, but they don't respond to him. I mean, it's pulling teeth.
Well, I know you're in between a rock and a hard spot. I mean, we're looking at language that says no docks, walkways, or decks shall be constructed on the lagoon. And you're obviously not like on the lagoon, but if what's under your second story deck is not an impervious material that would, you know, exacerbate any drainage issues or essentially intrude on the lagoon. Well, we're all in between a rock and a hard spot. I wonder if it would make sense for us to recommend a continuance and ask you, please, if you would, to try to address this with your ARB, which I'm a little bit familiar with your HOA, but not with your ARB. And I know that accessibility can sometimes be a bit of a challenge.
Yes, it is.
But I'm getting the sense that staff kind of brought up the restrictive covenants issue rather than the HOA. Am I right about that? Have they even considered this language that says no docks, walkways, or decks shall be constructed on the lagoon?
Our architect said he hasn't had any issues. So
okay. All right.
That's about it.
Mr. Heater, I'm Mr. Vineyard. You know, as I said, I live in a community which is much like this, and I know the drill, and we're not trying to jerk you around here. I mean, actually, I think we'd probably like to help you, but we don't feel we can help you unless we know that, I mean, why grant you a variance if you're going to have to go to the Architectural Review Board, and they're going to tell you you can't do it. And so my suggestion, in fact, I would move that we continue this matter with the provision that you go to the Architecture Review Board at Long Point and seek guidance as to exactly what they're going to allow in terms of your drawing, and then come back before the board and see whether or not what we're going to do.
And perhaps if you share with them that we have that condition, they might respond a little more promptly.
Maybe.
Don't mean to jerk you around, but I think that's where.
And just out of curiosity, I mean, wouldn't it, and if this is the Chatham County planning, let's just say it was approved, but the ARB says no, and I can't do it anyway. I mean, what would that really impact?
It means you can't do it anyway.
Right. I know. I just wondering if.
Bound by these covenants.
Right. The time spent to continue, if it were to be approved and they said no, I mean, at least.
It's just 30 days.
Step. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue this matter for 30 days.
Second.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. I didn't ask if there was anybody on the phone, but.
I don't think we have anybody online, do we? Oh, we have one person online.
There was.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. My apologies to the interested party. All right.
That party, I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, the next item is the adjacent property. So I'm not sure if that person who's online was going to want to speak to that as well. It's a almost identical scenario with a slightly different variance request.
All right. We're on to the next matter. Mr. Yellen, is this your matter?
No.
No, I'm sorry. Zero North Street front yard and rear setback variance request.
That's 111 Palm Cove.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Wrong one. Yeah. 111 Palm Grove Court. All right, can we hear from staff, please?
Yes, sir. This is the property immediately adjacent to the property that we just reviewed. So the property we just reviewed is on this map is lot 27. The highlighted property is the subject property of this petition. The applicant is also requesting a variance for new construction on this site, on this undeveloped lot, and they're requesting a 6-foot reduction of the front yard setback. This is the proposed site layout for this residence. There's a few differences here. This property is impacted by the lagoon on this side. You can also see it in here. Let me go back to this previous. Where are we going? This is an aerial map of the property, and you can, as the lagoon comes in here. As well in this scenario, there is no commentary from the Architectural Review Board related to what appears to be an encroachment in an area that they would not allow based on the covenants. So we had a very similar recommendation as it relates to this property. This property, buildable area of this property is slightly larger than the previous property. But again, we believe that based on the information available to us, it is likely that the scale of house would not be permitted on this property based on its adjacency to the lagoon in particular, right in this area here. Which does not meet the 30-foot requirement that is outlined in those documents. So I suspect, I'm not sure if the petitioner is present or online to speak to this or answer questions, but based on your previous action, I suspect we may be going in a similar route.
Questions of staff before we move on to the applicant? All right, is there anyone here to speak for the applicant this morning?
Mr. Eater?
Yeah. Mr. Leggett, this is the applicant, I think, is online.
Is online, all right. Mr. Leggett, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm applying for a very similar situation as Jake. I just want to kind of clarify a couple of things. We did reach out to the ARB, and they decided to leave it up to the architect that planned the community, because there was no 30-foot building setback from the road explicitly stated in the covenants.
Okay. Were you online to hear the previous matter?
I was.
Okay. So you understand what the board's concerns are here. First and foremost, you must abide by your covenants. And we think that that's a precursor before this matter being ripe before this board.
Yes. Well, we spoke with ARB as much as possible, and they deferred the decision to the developing architect. They have yet to give any information on. So kind of between leaving it up to that developing architect is.
All right.
And who is that developing architect?
They did not give us the contact. They were supposed to be reaching out on our behalf, and that was probably 2 months ago.
Because I'm not sure that person's still alive.
Yeah.
Mr. Marcus, you got any? Mr. Lawson?
Yeah, Mr. Leggett, I just wanted to ask a question. Maybe you can clarify something I thought I heard you say. The ARB referred what you just described to the architect to deal with the with what you're requesting on this front yard setback request. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so we've got two things here, I think, is that the requested variance, which is before the board, I think what Mr. Leggett is saying is that the ARB referred that issue to this board, which is appropriate. But I think the other issue is the language within the covenants that they appear to have not reviewed at this point, because they haven't had a submittal from Mr. Leggett that they've officially considered. So I don't believe they have looked at these plans or the
they
plans
will not
as it relates
sorry.
To the covenants, but they are referring
they will not review plans
issue to this board.
Mr. Leggett, repeat what you said, please.
They will not review proposed building plans until we have county permits finalizing the plans.
Well, how can the county offer you a permit when it appears that your plans are in violation of your community's ARB standards? You can't get a permit.
From what we understand, the 30-foot setback from the road is a county setback, and that the Long Point covenants do not actually state that there's a 30-foot building setback from the road.
Right, but I think our issue isn't so much the setback from the road as it is your violation, or what we perceive as potentially your violation of the covenants as it relates to the proximity to the lagoon.
Correct.
We were applying for these variances so that we could manipulate the plans in order to comply with the covenants. That extra 4 and 6 feet was just, it was just going to give us a little bit more space so that we would be able to be within those limits.
Okay, so if you're going to manipulate the plans, tell me what's in the lower corner that's closest to the lagoon. Is that appears to be a permanent part of the structure, and then you've got another room to the right of that, and then it looks like you've got a porch. I mean,
so that would be a mud room, and these were the plans that we had initially wanted to have fitted to the lot. But obviously they don't because of the lagoons. So we are going to manipulate them in order to comply with all the regulations, and having that 6 and 4 foot variance setback would help us tremendously.
Well, I see where it would help you tremendously, but it would also help us in our thinking process tremendously if that whatever room it is that appears to be, you know, permanently roofed could be flipped over to the other side so that you had what appears to be an open deck closer to the lagoon rather than a room. But, you know, that's all speculation at this point on our part, because we're looking at the plans as you've submitted them.
Mr. Leggett, we're not an advisory board. We are here to consider what is before us. And in my humble opinion as chairman, I believe that it is incumbent upon you to go to your architectural review board first and get them to consider their own restrictive covenants, and then you make changes to your drawings based upon what they recommend. And if you are still in need of a variance, then you come back to this board. Does that make sense?
That was what we attempted to do. So them trying to contact the architect that designed the neighborhood.
I'm gonna suggest that we are likely to move in the same direction on your petition as we did on the previous one. We don't have the information we need.
As lawyers would say, it's not ripe for consideration by this board.
So therefore, okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we continue this matter for 30 days, subject to the petitioner being able to meet successfully with the ARB of the HOA of the Long Point subdivision.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Let me note for the record that Ms. Meredith Stone has appeared this morning, and she's now here. Thank you. All right, can we go to the next matter, please?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is 8010 to 8012 Highway 80 height variance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner for the subject properties is requesting a 9-foot variance from section 4-12 of the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance, which permits the maximum height of structures of 36 feet. The requested variance would permit a structure up to 45 feet. The applicant here is for two adjacent parcels on the west side of US Highway 80, which are bisected by a former county right-of-way. Here, the two subject properties are highlighted. The unopened 12th Street right-of-way has been quitclaimed by the applicant. The properties are in the TB zoning classification, which permits the proposed use, which is stacked boat storage. The adjacent parcel is an existing dry stack storage facility that received a height variance in 2019. The petitioner at that time was requesting a 50-foot maximum height, and was granted a maximum height of 45 feet, and subsequently those stack storage facilities have been constructed and are operational in this location. The proposed development includes two new buildings for dry stack storage and vehicle parking. This is the proposed site layout. The existing facilities are adjacent here. These are the proposed new buildings and proposed parking area. This is an aerial map that shows both the existing facility. You see Highway 80 here at Bull River, and the existing buildings, which were granted the variance. This is the approximate location of the new structures. We did, for the record, receive one letter of correspondence from a nearby property owner directly across from Highway 80 who supports the requested variance. In review of the variance criteria, staff finds that there does not appear to be any exceptional conditions regarding the size, shape, or topography that justify additional height, including the fact that the unopened right-of-way of 12th Street was quit-claimed and will be combined with that property should it be developed. We believe the parcels can be developed under the current regulations as it relates to height without creating a hardship. There do not appear to be any particular conditions that justify additional height beyond the 36-foot maximum. These are flat-roofed buildings, so the maximum amount of available storage that can be created within 36 feet is available to the applicant. Although in this case, relief may not cause detriment to the public, staff finds that there is no justification for variance from the standards, other than potentially the applicant's desire to have buildings similar to the existing buildings on the adjacent property, which they operate, and to maximize their ability to store boats at that location. With that said, staff is recommending denial of the height variance for the properties at 801012 East US Highway 80, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Lotz.
I'm sorry. Questions of staff.
I promise this is not going to be the Corin Ross show. But I do have a couple of questions.
Everything's
for you.
In your area, Mr.
I know it's all, yeah, you're in my hood. So that's just where it is. So do I understand that this is essentially an expansion of the existing Savannah Boatyard?
Yes, that's correct.
And could I ask you, and I'm sorry for taking you down memory lane again, could I ask you what the justification was in 2019 for allowing the boatyard to exceed the height variance at that time?
Well, looking back on the 2019 petition, which was largely a different board at that time, staff's recommendation was denial for that petition. The applicant was requesting a maximum of 50 feet to be allowed. Frankly, it became somewhat of a negotiation at that time. It was the board's position, as I recall, in reviewing the reports from 2019, that this location where the current facilities are was somewhat different in the fact that it had dimensional, I guess, the dimensions of the lot limited the buildable area somewhat. As you can see, it kind of narrows here along the marsh. So based on that, I believe that was a lot of the reason why the additional height was granted, essentially to be able to increase the amount of available boat storage on this site because of the limiting factors that were associated with the lot as they exist. Also, as I should mention, that there was a small parking variance also granted at that time for the existing facility, and the petitioner has, you know, since built out that parking and it operates today, but there is no parking variance being requested for the new portion.
And this may be more a question for the petitioner than for you, but it seems to me that if we're adding boat storage, that is going to add demand on the adjacent marina for being able to put those boats in and out of the water. Is that correct?
I probably would let the applicant speak to that.
Okay.
You know, there was storage and this facility would likely have increased impact. However, I can't say that the same number of people aren't already using that facility just coming from a different location.
Thank you.
Any other questions of staff?
Yes. So just to summarize, the petitioner is asking for a variance to match what is already existing that previously got a variance. So basically doing would you say that for business purposes, even though you can store more, but if there was a variance that was given to the existing and the petitioner, all that they're trying to do is match what already exists, and staff sees no reason to deny other than the fact that there's a 36 feet height requirement?
Yes, sir. The maximum permitted height is 36 feet. The petitioner is asking for the same height that was previously granted in 2019, right, which is 45 feet.
Right.
They requested at the time 50 feet. They were granted 45. The proposed new buildings, which are shown here, would be essentially identical to the buildings that are on site now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Who's here to speak for the petitioner? Morning, Mr. Yellen.
A couple of exhibits, which I think Marcus.
Good morning, everyone. For the record, Harold Yellen on behalf of the petitioner, 3C Sons LLC, and that's a bit of a tongue twister. The 3C Sons are the owners of Savannah Boathouse, and with me today are two of the sons, Tom McCarthy and Mike McCarthy, and also their father, Brian McCarthy. Tom is the managing member of Savannah Boathouse and will likely answer any questions y'all may have. The petition before you today is a request for a height variance of 9 feet from 36 feet under the code to 45 feet. And this is to allow Savannah Boathouse to expand its marina only with dry storage. The expansion is for two buildings, as you can see on what I hope is the exhibit before you. There'll be no expansion of the existing office. There'll be no expansion of the existing docks on the river. There'll be no expansion of the existing fuel facility. You'll also notice on our concept plan before you that our expansion is to the south and along Highway 80. So we're going to be bounded on one side by our own facility. We're going to be bounded by Highway 80, and across the street there's a 9 or 10 story building, which we'll address in just a moment. To the south of us is a commercial, very small commercial shopping center. And on the other side, you can see the faint outline of several rectangles, and that's a self-storage mini warehouse. Here's an aerial view of the same thing that I've just shown you. And you can see, in reality, the self-storage mini warehouse. You can also see the commercial activity and the direction that we're going to be heading with our expansion. We are somewhat surprised by the MPC staff recommendation before you today, because as has been discussed, we were approved for a 9-foot variance in 2019. We had actually asked at that time for a height variance to go to 54 feet, which would have been a variance of 18 feet, but there was considerable discussion. And Ms. Ross, I know you were on the ZBA at that time. I'm not sure, my memory is not that good for 3 years. This is pre-COVID. I don't know who else was on, but I believe Ms. Ross was the only one. There was considerable discussion. And one of the reasons that we settled on 45 feet was really based on a survey of other marinas in Chatham County. Savannah Bend Marina was at 44 feet. Baja Blue was actually a little bit taller at 48 feet. And Hogan's Marina was at 41 feet. The other discussion we had was the need for dry storage in Chatham County. Now, in 2019, there were 10,500 registered boats. That does not include unregistered boats. So in 2019, there was only dry storage available for 700 boats. Roughly 7% of all boats had availability for dry storage. Even when we added on our 100, that statistic went from 7% to 8%. So there was in 2019, and there is still now, a need for dry storage for Chatham County. Interestingly, because you've often asked, well, what else in the neighborhood has happened? 7 months after we were approved, a petition came before you for Sail Harbor Marina. Sail Harbor Marina asked for and received a variance of 29 feet for its marina expansion. And it was based primarily on the fact that it is next to, I guess it's called the Wilmington Island Club, the old Sheraton. And because it was 13 stories and 134 feet high, ZBA, County ZBA, actually granted a 29-foot variance for that property. If you look across the highway from where we are, I'm not exactly sure how tall this building is. I don't know whether to count the garage base at the bottom. It's either 9 stories or 10 stories. I'm guessing it's about 100 feet. It may not be as tall as the Wilmington Island Club, but we're not asking for 29 feet. We're asking for a 9-foot variance. And this is a view taken off of Google Earth coming from Tybee, heading back towards town. Another view as well of what is directly across the street from us. One last comment and one last photograph. This is the view going in the opposite direction. This stand of trees is between the dry storage facility and Highway 80. It will be there forever. We have no control over this. And in fact, I realized as Mr. Lotson was showing you his photographs, he actually has a better photograph than I do of these trees. And this is an incredible tree buffer that's going to be between Highway 80 and our expansion. There's a gap as you get closer to the bridge, and that is the old entrance to Williams Seafood. Our buffer for our expansion, in my opinion, will far exceed anything that I've seen at any other marina existing or proposed for Chatham County. So in summary, we're very comfortable. We're consistent with your 2019 ZBA decision. We are consistent with other marinas in Chatham County, and in fact, we're probably smaller in height than other marinas in Chatham County. We are comfortable that our expansion is in the direction of existing commercial uses, and that our expansion is significantly buffered by an extraordinary tree buffer to Highway 80. We are not aware of anyone who opposes this petition. In fact, we're only aware of one neighbor who supports our petition, and it's Mr. Brian Redman. And Mr. Lotson put this on the screen very briefly, but it's worth noting. I've observed 3 sea suns transform the former Williams Seafood property to a wonderful recreation site. As a boat owner, we need more boat storage facilities on the islands. We absolutely concur with that. And Mr. Redman supports the requested variance that will enhance accessibility and functionality on Wilmington Island. Please approve the requested variance. We would, in fact, respectfully request approval of our petition, and we're happy to answer any questions that y'all may have. So thank you very much.
Mr. Yellen, just for clarification, the new buildings would add how many slots?
There would be 48 boats in each building. So we would have 96 boats added to the existing 100.
108.
We have 108 now. We would be adding 96 boats.
And if we took you back to the current limit, how many storage units would you lose?
You'd be knocking off 25% off of both. A significant number, 24 boats would be knocked off. And it does pose for us, it's a functional issue, it's an operational issue, it's an aesthetic issue, dropping from what you approved at 45 down to 36. Everything about our operation is geared towards having a 45-foot dry storage area. So it's odd to us to come back, and particularly with the buffers and what's all around us, and candidly, variances that have been given to others, which far exceed what we're asking for. We were surprised to find that we didn't have full support. So we think it's only natural that we have the same variance we received a short 3 years ago.
And just for clarification, and this may be a question for Mr. McCarthy, do you have a wait list for your storage units as they stand?
Step up, Mr. McCarthy.
Yeah.
And good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Raise your right hand, please. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help God?
I did.
Good morning. State your name for the record.
Thomas McCarthy.
All right. Mr. McCarthy, go ahead.
So we opened about 2 years ago and filled the entire marina within 60 days of opening. We had such a demand at the time, and we have had a wait list of about 30 people during the entire time. So we started trying to acquire the property next door to expand the marina because we didn't get the 54 feet initially. We weren't able to get but so many spaces. So we were trying to expand westward to accommodate those additional spaces. There is, when we initially opened the marina, that was pre-COVID, the demand for outdoor recreational activities has skyrocketed. So we have had nothing but people trying to get in there. And so we're trying to do everything we can to accommodate as many as we can. And every marina in Savannah is at full capacity. They're building another marina, the one that Mr. Yellen spoke about on Wilmington. There is just not enough space to accommodate the people that want to use the coastal waters.
And dry storage takes those boats out of the water.
That's right.
In the discussion in 2019, one other important point that was considered by the ZBA, cars do not come in and out of our facility. When you come in, you are typically going fishing or boating, and you bring your car in and it sits there for several hours, sometimes all day. So from a traffic perspective, even with an additional 96 boats, we do not expect any impact or any material impact at all on Highway 80. Literally, people that come there are coming there for a significant period of time. I can't imagine why anyone would come in and leave 20 minutes later, like a drugstore or a grocery store. You're here because you want to be at the marina, and you'll be there for a significant period of time.
Thank you, Mr. Yellen. That brings me to another question. If you're not adding more parking spaces.
We are adding
parking, which is why we don't need a variance this time.
Thank you.
Well, my only concern here is we don't have parking out off of Highway 80 in the grass and all of that. You're going to have adequate parking, proper parking, correct?
Yes, sir. We're adding a significant number of parking on the back, more than we need. That's why we didn't go for parking variance, because okay, we realized that we want to have excess parking, so there is no issue.
Nothing irritates me more than boats and trailers and things like that parked on the side of a road somewhere in the right of way, and that's dangerous. Right.
We're trying to maintain a nice aesthetic value there, and there have not been any boats parked on the road in the last 2 years that we've been there.
Any other questions of Mr. McCarthy? All right. Anyone on the phone? No?
Mr. Chairman, as I was present for the previous discussion, and I do live in this area, and full disclosure, we've made use of this facility. I move that we grant the variance.
All right. We have a motion on the floor to grant the variance. We do a roll call vote. Mr. Plote?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Yes. Ms. Stone? Mr. Vineyard?
Mr. Chairman, may I say one thing? I'm doing this because, in fact, we just did it. So I vote aye.
All right. Chairman votes aye. Unanimous. Variance granted.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Lawson, do we have anything more on the agenda this morning?
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. With that, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.